You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. And I've got to make an adjustment here. Because, yeah, that's much better. Wow. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I have been up half the night. Mike was up all night. And then I got about 3 hours sleep. And then I have my whole family. Allison, Pooh, Annie, and I have been gone since about 6:15 this morning, all day long. Just got back a little while ago. We took the paper to press and brought it back. So Veritas has come off the presses today. It's ready to go out to all of you. That will be happening sometime late tomorrow afternoon. It will go in the mail. Tomorrow we will be spending all day putting labels up because we don't have any staff and we don't have any automation. So everybody but Allison gets to put labels on, and we all take turns keeping Allison happy while this is occurring. And it's an all-day thing, folks. So, tonight there's no prepared broadcast, but I'm going to tell you about the paper. I know a lot of you don't know anything about Veritas. Veritas is our newspaper. It's not a newsletter. I get letters all the time from people saying, can you give me some information about your newsletter? We don't have a newsletter. We have a full-size newspaper. Just like the New York Times or the Washington Post. It's no difference at all. Full size, great big paper. Okay? It's not a tabloid like the Spotlight. It's a full size newspaper. And the name of it is Veritas, spelled V as in Victor, E R I T A S. Veritas is the Latin phrase for truth, or I should say the Latin word, meaning truth. And the masthead is blue because blue is the traditional color of truth. And the eye in Veritas is a nude young woman looking at herself in the mirror. And this is the ancient, time-honored symbol of the naked truth. And the bottom of the front page has a bar across it, which is also blue. So this distinguishes our newspaper from any other. To protect the collector value of our newspaper, and it has a tremendous collector's value, I have just learned that people are paying tremendous prices for the first few issues and some of the rare issues of our newspaper when they can get their hands on it in the original edition. You see, the original edition always has the blue masthead and the blue bar across the bottom of the front page. If we do a reprint because of demand for that particular issue, it's all in black. There is no blue whatsoever. And we also print reprint on the paper. So that's to protect those people who initially invested $55 for a 24-issue subscription in the beginning. When we needed operating capital, and they became our charter subscribers, that's to protect their investment, because if they take care of those issues of Veritas, someday they'll be worth a lot of money. I can tell you already that they become scarcer with time because most people aren't interested in anything like that, and they just chuck them in the trash, or they loan them to somebody, and it disappears, and somewhere down the line, it gets torn up, or the baby plays with it, or they wrap fish in it, or the dog gets hold of it, or it just goes in the trash can, or in some cases, just gets lost. So, I just wanted to let you know about that. The subscription price, ladies and gentlemen, by golly, I've forgotten what it is $35 for 24 issues. $35 for 24 issues. Now, our paper is not scheduled, ladies and gentlemen. We've printed a paper once a month since the inception of the paper, except for last month. That's why this paper is April and May, and the reason we didn't print one for last month, or actually for this month, this is actually the May issue that's coming out now, is because we've been moving our office, our facilities, our computers, everything. And once all that stuff is dismantled and the library is packed in boxes, we don't have the ability to produce a paper. It's that simple, so we couldn't. We're all moved now. Not everything is unpacked, but the computers are set up. Everything is A-OK to be able to continue to print the newspaper. So we will continue to print it once a month, and sometimes maybe more often than that. And our goal eventually is to be able to, if we ever get it up to the level of the number of subscribers that we would need, to be able to hire a couple of people, be able to produce it at least once every 2 weeks, and then maybe even further down the line, maybe once a week. But the frequency of publication is not what really gets us going here. It's the information contained within this newspaper. You're not going to read it anywhere else. You can't find it anywhere else. And it is amazing. As some of our subscribers can tell you, they have never seen a newspaper like this in their entire life. It is the best newspaper, bar none, in America, if you are an American. If you're a socialist, you'll hate this newspaper. I guarantee you, because it lays your lies bare. And it tells the truth, for once. It is also the only... When I say this, folks, listen to me carefully, because I'm not joking you one bit. This is the only truly American conservative newspaper in existence in the world. Bar none. And if you haven't read it, don't be too quick to get on your high horse, because what I just told you is the truth. Let me give you some example of the stories that we have in this issue. We have a book review on Angels Don't Play This Harp, about the harp project going on in Alaska. It's called Vandalism in the Sky. And we have a complete, absolute, word-for-word, verbatim print of the text of the continued investigation of senior-level misconduct and mismanagement of the Internal Revenue Service conducted by the Congress. The headline story is Justice in Montana. It's a little play on words. Justice is spelled J-U-S-T-U-S for Justice Township, occupied by what everyone and the men involved call themselves the Freemen. And it's an in-depth article. Now, well, I'm not going to read it to you, and I'm not going to tell you what it says, but if you're smart, you'll get this newspaper and you'll read it. There's also a long article on homeschooling, as particularly pertains to several incidents that have happened in the state of Oklahoma recently, and how it is going to affect, or is already affecting, homeschoolers, and gives you some good advice if you're not homeschooling, and if you are homeschooling. There's an article on the Tri-States on Fed payroll, Parsons FBI informant, lays it bare for you, ladies and gentlemen. There's no doubt whatsoever. And the recommendation of the intelligence service of the Second Continental Army of the Republic is to separate yourself completely from Tri-States militia with no communications whatsoever. Now, you may disagree with that, and you can do whatever you want to. That's our advice. Whatever you do, you bear the responsibility for ultimately. There's another article on the front page. The title is Can't Indict Brown Now Because He's Dead. And I'm not trying to be crass or unfeeling about the man's death. I don't like it when anyone dies or when anyone is hurt, no matter how minor it happens to be. But we can't change the fact that the man was a criminal and was in the process of being indicted, and it would have been a terrible blow to Bill Clinton's campaign for president during the next year. My heart goes out to Ron Brown's family, who aren't, as far as I know, guilty of anything, but they have lost a loved one. And that's not good, no matter who the loved one was or what he was participating in. And I have a great empathy for anyone who's in that sort of pain. But just before they get ready to indict this man and open up another can of worms about Bill Clinton and Hillary and the Clinton administration, and this guy's plane crashes, and there's no black box on board. That's right, folks. We finally confirmed it. You see, the other night I said I didn't think there was a black box on board. At the time I said that, we did not know for sure, but I had a tremendous gut feeling, an informed, intelligent guess, shall we say, that there would be no black box found because there was no black box on that plane. And Saturday, I got the, I believe it's Time Magazine, it's either Time or Newsweek, and right in there it says absolutely that there was no black box placed aboard that plane. The plane, obviously, they're not going to tell you this. They're saying it crashed into the mountain, but that's a lie. I'm going to tell you right now, that's a lie. The plane had to have blown up in the air because the wreckage is scattered over many miles. And the only photograph that we are able to obtain and that you're ever going to see of the actual biggest piece that they can find is the tail section. And they won't show you any other parts of the plane because they're not there. They're miles away, you see. So if that plane actually crashed into that mountainside, all the wreckage would be there, scattered over a few hundred yards maybe, but right there. But it's not. It's scattered over miles. And that comes from our operatives of the intelligence service of the Second Continental Army of the Republic, who are actually in the Air Force, one of whom is closely associated with a recipient of information concerning this crash. And there's a lot of other things. An officer in command of the base where this plane took off from, who would never have allowed it to fly and was on record for not letting this particular type of plane fly in bad weather, was mysteriously relieved of his command shortly before this flight took place. And one of the maintenance crew mysteriously is dead. One of the people at the airport where this plane was supposed to land was concerned with radar, guiding, you know, planes in by radar, and the navigation for planes supposedly committed suicide, but he didn't. I've never heard of a suicide by shooting yourself in the chest. Have you? So, Ron Brown, we believe, and I think I can say it now with a good degree of certainty, was murdered. Everyone on that plane, we believe, and the evidence indicates they were murdered. And I hope you all understand what I just said. Also on the front page, FEMA chief elevated to cabinet level status. That's the Federal Emergency Management Agency director was just recently elevated by executive order to cabinet level status. He has to be on cabinet level status, folks, just like old Beria was on cabinet level status in Russia under Stalin, simply because all law enforcement eventually, and maybe sooner than later, is going to be combined and placed under the Federal Emergency Management Agency as a cabinet position to become the police state. And that's going to go right on down to the local police, folks. That's the plan. And we've uncovered all of this stuff. We just can't find time. We have so much information to relay to the world, and it's important that the world get this information. Because everyone, no matter what country you live in, no matter who you are, no matter what kind of government you live under, if you ever had any hopes or dreams of living free, of being able to realize your potential to make some kind of a good life for yourself and for your family, and to function as a participating and contributing member of society, or if you live in what you believe is a free country now, I can tell you, I don't care where you live. If you believe that you're free wherever you live, then you don't know what freedom is, because American citizens are the only people on the face of this earth who have ever been truly free. And even as difficult as it's becoming in this country now, we are still the freest people upon the face of this earth. And if we have anything to say about it, and we do, it's going to stay that way. But if you ever, and most of you have, you must have, because you flock to this country in droves by the millions whenever you get a chance. So you must want a taste of it. I'm going to tell you right now, if we lose our fight here to preserve our freedom, freedom is gone for the world, the entire world. Nobody will be spared. You better understand that. Another story. Were the primaries rigged by Jackie Petru of the Council on Domestic Relations? It's an exclusive story. Another story. Militia saves life. FBI retreats when confronted by citizens. That's another exclusive by yours truly. I also wrote the headline story, Justice in Montana. And, folks, there's lots more in this issue. In fact, this is one of the best issues, I believe, that we ever did. Letters to the editor. Oh, here's a story. Kagi News Service exclusive. Daniel Spiegelman implicated in Oklahoma bombing. Who's Daniel Spiegelman? Well, you better get this issue and read about it. Editorial. Charles Schumer equals Nazi. Now, he's going to love that when he sees it. I wanted to get the body of Hitler and put Charles Schumer's head on it. But either Mike couldn't find a body of Hitler, or Mike is a lot nicer than I am to Charles Schumer. Letters to the editor. Got some good letters. Really, we always get good letters, as a matter of fact. Even when they're bad, they're good, in our estimation. White House press releases on executive orders. Several executive orders have just been released. And it's strange, folks. Clinton just released a whole bunch of countries that he has labeled as drug money laundering countries and drug countries where they come in and out of. And some of these are just suspected. Can't be proven. Just suspected. But he has put sanctions against them on the suspicion. And in this executive order, he lists several countries that he knows absolutely are laundering drug money and funneling drugs through those countries. But he says that he's not putting sanction on those countries because he doesn't believe that any of those drugs are coming to the United States. But other countries that he just suspects, he's labeling as drug money laundering and drug transporting countries and placing sanctions on it. It doesn't make any sense until you realize that some of these countries are countries where American citizens are depositing money to get their money out of the hands of Bill Clinton and into safe bank accounts, And I'm not saying that they're laundering money or they're hiding money or they're not paying their taxes. I just don't know. I will tell you that they are countries where a lot of Americans are depositing money outside the country to try and save some of their assets against what they know is coming. But there are a couple of countries, especially in the Caribbean, folks, down there, you know, that will never be sanctioned because that's where the government and a lot of the higher-ups in government and the intelligence community and the Central Intelligence Agency funnels money to launder it. So if you understand that and you know how to do a little research, you'll know where to put your money, and I don't have to tell you. United Nations Pilgrimage, how this organization in Canada, which is really one of the mystery religions, Oddfellow and Rebecca Lodges, are funding trips for youth in Canada to go to the United Nations and learn all about world government. And let me see here. Oh, there's another article in the intelligence community, a complete expose of the whole, well, it's British Security Service, MI5. You'll find that extremely interesting. An article where Senator George Malone, Republican of Nevada, a long time ago, said that if the American people knew what the Congress was doing, they'd take up arms and, well, read the article. You'll find out. And there's an opinion column on the Montana standoff, which attempts to explain a little bit of what the Freemen were doing and what they were involved in. It's written by Thomas J. Clark of the Liberty Newswire. And the entire text of the Don Imus speech at the radio and television commentator's dinner. It's entitled Don Imus, In Your Face. And I've read it several times, and it still cracks me up. I mean, I just bust out laughing. I've listened to it. I have a tape. Well, some of you know I played it on the air. A new company, or a new name for an old company, Lucent Technology Incorporated. That's a little story. Personnel changes at the National Reconnaissance Organization. Phil Marsh is out on bail. What else here? Oh, just oodles of stuff, folks. All kinds of big, full-size newspaper full of information. Regional government sneaking America into global governance. Another article, opinion by Jackie Petru. And, there's something else. Stealth registration of guns attempted. You've got to read that. Also, feds to give land back to the states. 30 million acres being considered. That's like throwing the dog an old chicken bone. 30 million acres is nothing. You see, we put a map in here that shows you how much land the federal government actually owns. And you'll be amazed to see that almost all of the land that the federal government owns is in the western states, west of the Rockies, the entire state of Nevada, almost, except for, I mean, when you look at the state of Nevada, you see just a couple of little places where people can own private land. Almost the whole state of Utah and half the state of Colorado, a lot of Arizona and New Mexico, an awful lot of California, a little under half of the state of Oregon, most of the state of Idaho, and it's incredible how they've done this. Most of the state of Alaska, most of the state of Hawaii, owned by the federal government. So when they talk about 30 million acres, that's nothing. Means nothing. If they did it, No one could tell it.
Under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The Pledge of Allegiance to the flag and the pledge to the ideals of our forefathers. And then he fought and died in the building of this great nation. It's a pledge to fulfill our duties and obligations as citizens of the United States and to uphold the principles of our Constitution. And last but not least, it's a pledge to maintain the fourth-rate freedom cherished by all Americans. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom from want, and freedom from fear. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States.
The time is brought to you by Swiss America Trading. Have you ever held a real silver dollar or gold coin in your hands? Now, I know some of you older folks have because, and I'm not really, well, I don't know. It depends on how old you are. You might call me an older folk. I'm 52 years old, fixing to turn 53, I think. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. So, some of us in my age bracket and older know what it means to hold a silver dollar in our hand because we used to have them when we were kids and when we were growing up and when we were young men and women, but not anymore. So, I don't know exactly when the cutoff actually succeeded in making them so scarce that people didn't see them again unless they had a collection or knew somebody who had a collection or visited a coin shop. But in most cases, you wouldn't hold it in your hand. It'd be in a plastic container or you'd be able to look at it or ask questions about it. But those things just aren't out for you to fondle, if you know what I mean. But even at my age, I had never in my life held a gold coin because those disappeared long before I ever came along, folks. So it wasn't until I began to understand what was happening and realized that I had better do something about it and got my hands upon a real $20 gold piece that I realized what the difference was between a $20 gold piece and a $20 bill. It's the difference between night and day. It's the difference between a counterfeit piece of paper all covered with ink that is printed in the form of lies and real money, something that has intrinsic value in itself, whether it's used or money or not. It's valuable. And you can make things with it, and it has use in technology and in the home and jewelry and it's one of the best conductors for electricity and all kinds of things. But it has traditionally, throughout the history of the human race, been recognized as money. And all through the history of the human race. No real money system that was based upon gold and silver, or gold or silver coin, has ever failed, ever in the history of the world. However, every paper economy that has ever existed has ultimately failed, and this one will fail too. Has no backing, has no worth, it has no value. It is, in fact, based upon a system that says debt is wealth. Can you imagine that? Upon a system where, in order to maintain the economic stability and health of the country, people must continue to borrow large sums of money, including the government. Every time money is borrowed, interest must be paid on that money. Now, if the interest was never created in the first place, you can see over a period of time, the money disappears, or what is being used as money, disappears into the pockets of those who are charging the interest, because there's only X number of dollars. To cover up the theft of that money, all of this collateral is collected on defaulted loans, eventually results in the wealth and property of the nation being funneled into the pockets of a very few. That's right. That's what I said. And to cover up this massive theft, they have to move from a countable or accountable money or paper to something that functions as money or paper, but in fact is not, like checks and credit cards and debit cards and eventually smart cards, and then further on down the line, something on or in your skin, such as a tattoo or an implant, that will get completely away from anything that's accountable or can be counted. Because, folks, if it were true that our economy was healthy and stable, then everybody in the country should be able to find the money tomorrow to pay off their debts. And they can't. In fact, if you were to go down to your local bank and ask to draw out $10,000 tomorrow morning, they would probably faint right in front of you because they don't have it. If they gave you $10,000, they wouldn't be able to do business that day. You see, there isn't any money in the banks. There isn't enough money in circulation in the nation to pay off even a small portion of the debt of the people, much less the debt of the government. Because over years and years and years of borrowing and paying back and paying interest on top of the principal, the money literally disappears. So they have to have something in its place. They get you started writing checks, and then they switch you to a credit card, and you don't carry any money anymore. And then you have debit cards and smart cards and wire transfers. And now on the internet, they're talking about cyber money. And eventually, they have to go to a cashless system, because eventually you won't be able to find a penny anywhere. And that's the truth. In a cashless system, they can rob the entire world blind, and nobody will ever be able to know it. Because in a cashless system, there's nothing to count or be accountable for. They can create money out of thin air, because that's all it is. Thin air and electrons. It's just a transfer through a wire of something that never existed in the first place. You're being robbed of everything, and you don't even know it. It's just a matter of time before the whole house of cards comes tumbling down. In fact, I bet if we all breathed real hard right now, tomorrow the stock market would crash. So call Swiss America Training and get your hands on some real money, because when this occurs, nobody is going to accept anything that you've got that you think is money and payment for anything at all. So call 1-800-289-2646. Talk to Frank. Talk to anybody, but talk to somebody, and get at least a part of your assets protected. and do it with Swiss Merit Trading because they guarantee their work. I guarantee their work. They have a buyback policy. They record everything. Nobody can cheat you, and you can't cheat anybody. Okay? 1-800-289-2646. You can't go wrong. And folks, do it now. You know how we tend to be? How we tend to procrastinate?
My country is of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my father died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountain pride, let freedom ring.
Okay, folks. Now, don't get caught up in all this stuff. Somebody wrote me a letter one time and said, well, you're wrong, because, you know, as the money disappears and people need more money, the government puts more money in circulation. That's right, they do, but they borrow it, just like you borrow money, just like everybody borrows money. Everybody is so much in debt, I'm telling you, there isn't any money. You see, the government borrows it and puts it into circulation the same way you do. They write a check to pay their workers. They don't pay cash anymore. They used to. Long time ago. When I first went in the Navy, they paid us cash. When I first went in the Air Force, they paid us cash. The paymaster would come where we, where our unit was and pay us in cash. Not anymore. They give a check because there isn't that much cash in the world. It doesn't exist anymore. It's been paid as interest out of circulation. And this economy is on the verge of a total, complete crash. You wait and see. And remember, don't get confused between the debt and the deficit. If the nation was healthy, government wouldn't have a deficit or a debt. The deficit is the difference between the money they need and the money they have. The debt is what's owed as principal and interest against loans that the government has taken out in order to put money into circulation to keep the whole thing from coming down. We are at the point now where the government can't possibly pay the principal and the debt on any of it. And look what Clinton just did, folks. He took long-term bonds and renegotiated them for short-term. And there's no way that he can pay them once they come due. You better pay attention. Okay, we've got about 20 minutes left in the broadcast. What I want to do is I want to hear from you, but I want to hear about one thing and one thing only. If you call about anything else, listen to me carefully. If you call about anything else, I'm going to hang up on you. So don't be surprised and don't be angry because I told you first. I want to talk about this movie that I keep hearing about, and I've been hearing about it for a year. It's called Braveheart. What in the world is so important about this movie? Braveheart. I want to hear from you. If you've seen that movie, if you know the answer to that question, call now. Because apparently it's got everybody buzzing and talking and teary-eyed and all kinds of stuff. I guess it made the round of the movie theaters. And now it's in the video store. So 520-333-4578 is the number. It's 520-333-4578. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill Cooper.
Hello.
I'm Braveheart's greatest fan.
Tell me about it.
Bought it the day it came out. It speaks to many of the things that we are feeling these days. It's to our general mood, yearning for freedom, the repression, oppressive government. Excuse me, a little out of breath, had to run to the phone. It embodies actually the beginnings of the American Revolution. It embodies the concepts of creator endowed rights. One of the greatest statements.
Take a deep breath.
I'm working on it. I had a big supper too, on top of it all.
That'll do it.
One of the greatest statements in the movie is made by William Wallace. It's a true story, by the way. When he is speaking to the nobles and lords of Scotland, and they are trying to strike a deal with the King of England, and he says...
You mean he was talking to Gingrich, Dole, and Schumer, and Clinton, and all those guys?
Well, no, actually, he was talking more to the landed citizens.
That's what I said. Go ahead.
But not in any particular position of authority other than by reason of their personal wealth.
Yes.
And he says to them, there's a difference between you and me. You think that the people of this country exist to provide you with position. I think your position exists to provide the people of this country with freedom. And historically, you know, many of the leaders of the American Revolution were Scottish educated. Thomas Jefferson was tutored by Scotsmen.
Yes.
And the ideals, the principles in written form as a matter of education underlying the concept of creator endowed rights are directly traceable to Edinburgh, Scotland in the time of William Wallace.
Uh-huh.
And Scots themselves claimed as the basis for their freedom that their rights were granted by their creator and not by the King of England. And it's I highly recommend it. I have personally thought of sending you a copy, but I assume that you had probably seen it. I've always said that it must have slipped past the censors.
Who did the movie?
Mel Gibson. And by the way, in his favor, it was his personal project. He read the story and said, I want to make this story. He could not find any actor to play the lead role that he was satisfied with, so he decided to play it himself.
Hmm.
He backed it. He pushed it through. I read several interviews with him, and it really goes against, goes against every fiber of my being to think well of any one of the Hollywood set in general entertainment industry.
Well, you know, I know some people in Hollywood, and there are some good people in Hollywood, but the people usually who pull the strings and say what's what, that's a different story.
As I was saying, it goes against my grain to think well of anybody. I've just basically had to blanket condemn them all, but Mel Gibson has moved to the top of the heap. He's really moved up in my eyes. I read several interviews with him. It was his personal project. Once you see the movie, if you can see the movie with stereo sound, it loses a little something when it moves from the big screen to video.
All movies do.
All movies do. But
you see Star Wars on a big screen, and then you try to watch it on a TV set, and it's nothing.
Yeah.
You see it on that big screen, and it's awesome.
Yes, it's almost overpowering.
Yeah.
Braveheart doesn't lose too much except the battle scenes. It's taken a lot of heat because of graphic. They say it's violent, but I guarantee you, probably the most realistically portrayed scene of battle in the old style with swords, staves,
spears.
I can't laud it enough. It's just an incredible movie, but it also has an incredible message, and I highly recommend everyone see it. If I keep quoting lines, I'll betray how many times I've watched it now. I paid the $100 and bought it on video the day it came out.
It cost $100?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, it's only out for rental now. It's not actually out for sale.
Yeah. Okay. I thank you. Let's see if we can get some comments from some other people.
Very good. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you for calling. 520-333-4578. If you've seen Braveheart, I want you to tell us about it. What do you think about it? Why is everybody talking about this movie? I must add, 500 people tell me to watch that movie. Well, I live way out in a rural area. I mean, if it came here, it snuck past me. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes. I wonder if you'd give information on how to subscribe to me.
I said, folks, the only thing I want to talk about, I already gave information on how to subscribe to Veritas. And all I want to hear now is about Braveheart. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. Braveheart.
Yeah.
One of the most invigorating, eye-opening, racially conscious movies I have ever seen in my whole entire life.
Why do you say racially conscious?
Because it portrayed white men as brave and stoic people and not a bunch of sniveling wimps on their knees.
Huh.
You know, your typical media portrayal now of a white man, especially a white Christian, is he's a homosexual, a pedophile, a pervert, a sicko, a supremacist, et cetera, et cetera.
I haven't seen that. They're always portraying us as, I say us loosely because I'm part Native American, but they always portray the white male as a terrorist, bubba, redneck type.
A fool, an idiot, and yeah, but Braveheart didn't do that. Braveheart was, it actually stemmed way from the realm of political correctness. There was no token black actor, as there was in the movie Robin Hood, which was a slap in the face to English history, and there was no portrayal of a positive role for homosexuals. In fact, there was a small bit in Braveheart where one of the king's sons was played by an effeminate man who had, it wasn't come out as him being homosexual, but it was kind of in a nasty way of him being effeminate. Well, the king finally took this guy and chucked him out the window. And when Braveheart first ran in the States, a lot of homosexual groups protested the movie because of their its alleged denigration of homosexuals.
That's like the that's like all his moves to eliminate any reference to the old vaudevillian blackface acting and the radio broadcast of Amos and Andy.
Yep.
And denying the truth about slavery, that really the blacks sold their own people to the slavers, who usually were Jewish ship owners, who then brought the slaves to the estates and sold them to the plantation owners or to middlemen who would auction them off, and all kinds of stuff. You know, history is history, and history must be that we must tell the truth, no matter who it helps or who it hurts or what it is, because you cannot deny the truth and you cannot deny the real history.
That's what I really liked about Braveheart was I have some Irish friends and some Scottish friends, and they were telling me that the movie is about as accurate as you're going to get in a made-for-movie depiction of a story. It was apparently, from what my friends were saying, they had claimed it to be 90% accurate of the way the customs were, the way the fighting was, apparently through legend and folklore. So I really enjoyed it for that reason, too, especially it won Best Director, and it won Best Movie, which I was absolutely floored that a movie that was not very politically correct in the realm of the New World Order would win such high acclaims from Hollywood. I was surprised.
Well, you see, Hollywood pretends to be the great liberal protector of freedom. How could they not award it if that's what the message of the movie is?
Most film critics originally said they loathed the movie because it was just Mel Gibson indulging himself in self, seeing himself on screen and directing himself. But I didn't see that at all. I saw that as an excellent story. It was well put together, and it was, like I said, a very good movie for anybody who is proud of what they are, no matter how much you see in the normal theater that white people are a bunch of barbarian terrorists. That is not the way it was back in those days, and for the most part, not the way it is today.
Well, it never is. That's a promotion of the liberal socialist communist establishment that's in control of this country and much of the world now, in order to attempt to demonize the producers in order to bring socialism in. It has nothing to do with being white. It has something to do with producing. The parasites can't get their dole if somebody is producing and doesn't want to give it to them. So you got to get rid of those people.
Well, yeah, there has to be an enemy in order for the, like it was in the situation.
That's right.
In the movie Braveheart, there had to have been an enemy. So here William Wallace and his guys were saying, why are we giving up our wives to the Scots? the Englishman. Why are we giving up our taxes? The movie was very much paralleled. In a lot of ways, if you looked at it in the 1996 version, you could see yourself as being a William Wallace. As one person, they wanted him to become something special. And he says, no, I'm not something special. I am one man. But one man took a country that was basically cowards and didn't want to fight. They took them and they fought, and they basically started the beginning of something that people can be proud of, which is what a lot of people say, and I do specifically, is what you're doing. You're one person out in the void saying, look, wake up the sheep. That's what William Wallace did. You've got to get the movie.
All right. Okay.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you for calling. 520-333-4578. Well, I've heard a lot about what's in the movie and some of the things were said. What's the message of the movie? That's what I want to know. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Yes.
There's another way of possibly looking at the movie Braveheart, and that is it's kind of like a Zen koan in that fight against the system as you must, but you'll never win. And I think that's the subliminal hidden message in the movie.
You'll never win. Didn't the Scots win their freedom?
No.
Are you kidding me? Because I know that the Bruce led an army and kicked England's butt and declared Scotland's freedom. I know that in history. I've covered that in my history of the mystery schools. He was helped by a lot of the Templars who to escape oppression of the Pope and the King of France, went to Scotland and helped him fight.
Possibly that's the way it was. I mean, if you're a better historian than I am, I'm sure. But in the movie, they do have victory, but in the end, they don't win. They're kind of betrayed by the upper class of their own people, the Scots I'm speaking of.
Well, the common people are always betrayed by the wealthy and the so-called nobility of the world. They always have been.
Yeah, and they're given their land and possession, and for that reason, that's why they betrayed the lower class. But I think that's what that might be about. But Gibson's, he may be a connected guy. You know, there might be more to him than meets the eye. He was in that movie Gallipoli, which was about that battle that
Gallipoli was Winston Churchill's supreme failure.
Correct.
Yeah, that was a monumental failure. Okay, thank you.
Bye.
I gotta say though, that's not the message I'm getting from all the people that are telling me to watch Braveheart. They're telling me that gives patriots and militiamen courage to stand up for freedom is what they're telling me. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Bill?
Good.
It's Ray Gilchrist out here in the west side of New York.
Hi.
Okay, Braveheart, for me, was a movie of love, number one, of love of man and of mankind in general. Starts off with a love affair with a woman who is very much adored, and she's brutally murdered by an English noble.
That'd get me going.
And then later on, he starts off as a revenge against what has happened to his wife, to his woman, but that is eventually, then he becomes kind of like a hero in a sense to the people. He's like their hope for liberation. They put their money on him to liberate him from the English. A kind of a position I don't think he originally wanted to get himself into. But
nobody wants to be in that position. People have tried to put me in that position. I refuse to be in that position. If we're going to save ourselves, it's because we all do it. Not because
exactly.
There is no white horse with a knight in shining armor that's going to come and save anybody.
Exactly. So he finds himself in this position, and eventually, of course, he leads leads the call for the people to rise up and get themselves off their ass and kick some butt, basically. That's where, and of course you see a lot of brutal scenes, but of course the history has been a series of bloodsheds throughout our history, and I guess that's something that's realistic about the movie. It's not something to be looked upon as, of course, the type of people we have today in the movie industry, they want to make everything into a brutal and how horrible we are and inhuman and so forth. But anyway, that's not the message there. The message is that he's brave, that he stands up for what he believed in. And I think the message from the movie for me was that you have to stand up for what you believe is right, no matter what, no matter how brutal it gets at times. You have to believe that what we're doing is correct. This is similar to our own beginnings.
Uh-huh.
So we have to, you know, remain true to ourselves.
Well, I believe that's absolutely true. I believe we must determine what is right.
Exactly.
And then unless we're proven wrong, and I mean proven wrong, we must stand by what we
right.
what we believe, what we know is right, against all, even if it means that we have to die.
Exactly.
No matter what, because not to be willing to do that
right.
Means that all the good in the world will eventually disappear, because it's always maintained by people who are willing to die for it.
Exactly, and that's really the power that he portrays in the movies, the power that he had, that the courage to die for what he believes in, and people really respect that. Even the English respected it at the end.
Uh-huh.
They put him on the rack at the end. It's really brutal at the end. They have him on the rack, and I guess you know the kinds of things they used to do to people.
Oh, yes.
Killed you. If they were nice, they just chopped your head off, you know. First they had to, you know, stretch him a few inches. And
well, actually getting your head chopped off is a very humane and quick way to die.
Exactly. So, of course, they didn't want to do it that way. What they wanted him to do was to say, you know, beg for mercy. Because if you beg for mercy, then you see that we're stronger than you, and the people will lose their faith in you.
Mm-hmm.
Afraid that they were going to really bring this guy, make him a martyr. And they were afraid of martyrs, of course. So what they did is they started to torture him, and I think they even started to bowel him. You don't see that, but you can tell that they're doing something down in his waist, and he's just kind of holding it in, not letting it out. And the people are, like, begging for mercy now for him. You know, and of course, the executioner finally gave in, you know, and they chopped his head off. But the point is at the end that I think the last caller was a little off on his knowledge of the movie there. Because, yes, in the beginning, the nobility did betray.
Well, you know, callers sometimes have agendas, too.
Yeah. Well, the nobility did, in effect.
I'm not saying that the last caller did have an agenda. I'm just saying that
yeah.
sometimes.
I think he's just a little off on his story.
Yeah.
But what happened was, yes, the nobility didn't go along with Braveheart. They were afraid of losing their holdings because the English, of course, had them under their thumb. You know, they were land. They were giving them land.
I've said it a million times on this broadcast. If you're attached to material things.
Right.
If you love material things, if you must have material things, if you can't walk away from everything that you own, you're a slave.
Exactly.
And you might be called a nobleman, and you might have a castle. But if you can't walk away from that castle at any time without even looking back or feeling one pang of regret, you're a slave to somebody.
Exactly. Exactly. They sold out. And that's basically what happened. They sold out, didn't want to fight with them. So a couple of the battle scenes, you see them walking away when they thought they were going to fight with Braveheart. Of course, they didn't. And, of course, after he dies, about 13 or 14, I don't know exactly the number of years later, it was like 13-something, in the middle of the 13th century.
Robert the Bruce liberated Scotland. I know that's a fact of history.
That's right, and they were liberated. They were liberated after he died.
Yeah.
Okay, they rose up again, and they did fight, and they kicked the English out, and that was the end of that. I don't know exactly politically today what the connection is. I don't think they're totally independent, are they? I'm not sure now.
Well, it's like
Maine always goes up there every year.
It's like Canada. Canada is an independent nation, but it's part of the British Commonwealth.
Right.
And so is Scotland.
Right. So they still have some kind of.
The Queen has her Canadian guards and her Scottish Black Watch guards and all of this kind of stuff. But it's an independent country.
Right.
They're not under the rule of England.
Exactly. So I think the movie, I think you should definitely see the picture. For you, it would be great.
Okay.
And I think it's about two things, love and doing what's right and being standing above and doing what you have to do.
Thank you. We're out of time.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, folks, just to let you know, I did not see the movie. And I've been honest with you about that. But just a few days ago, I did see the video when it came to the video store. I didn't want to tell you that because I wanted to hear your opinions honestly from you, not affected by anything that I might say. I wanted to hear from your lips what this movie was all about. I've been trying to see it for a year, and I just was able to see it the other day. At the end of that movie, I had tears in my eyes. I was tremendously moved, and it gave me a whole set of new things to hang on to. That, to tell you quite frankly, I need. So, good night, and God bless each and every single one of you.
Tomorrow all the things were gone, worked for all my life, and I had to start again, it's just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, but the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that.